Good evening and welcome to a special live broadcast of the 2022 Skagway Assembly and School Board Candidate Forum. I'm Mike Swayze with KHNS News, and I'm joined by Melinda Munson and Gretchen Wemhoff from the Skagway News. This forum can be heard live on KHNS FM, KHNS.org, and can be viewed on the Skagway News Facebook page. Tonight, we'll hear from five candidates running for two seats in the Skagway Borough Assembly. We will also hear from one candidate running for a single seat on the Skagway School Board. Newly elected candidates will take office on October 10th. The election is Tuesday, October 4th. Polls are open at City Hall that day from 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Early voting in Skagway is currently available weekdays at City Hall from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. and will run through October 3rd. For any questions about your ballot or voting, contact the Municipal Clerk's Office. The views expressed here tonight do not necessarily reflect the viewpoint of Lynn Canal Broadcasting, the Board of Directors or staff, or the Skagway News. Up next, Melinda Munson will introduce the candidates.
Good evening. I'm Melinda Munson, co-publisher of the Skagway News. Thank you to the candidates and the audience for being here this evening. We would also like to thank Jeff Brady for timing the event. Our guests this evening are incumbent Assembly candidate Orion Hansen, Jan Lynn Hager, Dan Henry, William Lockett II, and Alex Waddell. The school board candidate, Luke Rauscher, is running unopposed.
I'm Gretchen Wemhoff, the other co-publisher of the Skagway News, and tonight we'll have three candidate sections. Some of tonight's questions were submitted by community members, and some were written by the local news staff. We'll ask as many of the community questions as possible within our time constraints. We'll start off today with our school board candidate, then we'll move on to our assembly candidates. Both assembly and school board candidates will have 1 minute to introduce themselves, 90 seconds to answer each question, and 60 seconds for closing remarks. Now, we have Jeff timing and has these blue cards. He'll be timing, showing you the time you have left to speak. It's whatever you have left. And if you go over for too long and people start yawning, you'll hear this. you got to hang on to the handle. Go ahead, do it one more time. Yeah.
There it is, go. Jeff. You did it. We'd like to start off with our school board candidate, Mr. Rauscher. Is he here? Mr. Rauscher appears to have not made the forum this evening, so we'll go ahead and move on to the candidate forum. Assembly candidates, if you don't mind, go ahead and walk up to the dais and sit behind your name. Mr. Henry will be at the Rauscher position.
You're listening to live coverage of the Skagway Candidate Forum, live from Skagway Assembly Chambers.
Mr. Brady, you're ready with your cowbell. Yeah, okay, good. Thank you for joining us this evening as Assembly candidates. Let's start with introductions. Each of you will have 60 seconds to tell us about yourselves and why you'd make a good Assembly member. We will use alphabetical order, starting with Mr. Hansen.
Hello, my name is Orion Hansen. I am running for a re-election to Assembly. I've served for 6 years. Prior to that, I was chairman of planning and zoning. I'm a contractor in Skagway. I live here year-round. I currently employ 6 carpenters full-time, and I'm very much committed to everything local. I buy local, I pay local, and I live here locally. We have a lot of challenges out in the assembly level, from the clinic to the harbor to daycare, and balancing the budget. It's a tough job, and I hope I gain your trust to be reelected. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Hansen. Ms. Hager.
So, Janelyn Hager, and I decided to run for an assembly seat mainly because I've been here for 30 years, and I keep thinking somebody else is going to deal with all of these issues and take care of all of the business at hand. And the city is facing such huge issues now that I felt like I should try and be part of this problem-solving assembly. And as far as I'm a serial entrepreneur. I'm a business owner, employer, and I raised my family here. And I want to just be part of what the solution Skagway is looking for.
Thank you, Ms. Hager. Mr. Henry.
My name is Dan Henry. I've been here 32 years.
Got to hit the shiny green button. Yep. Dan, I don't think you're on yet. You've still got to... Yeah, there you go. When that red light lights up, then you're good.
So they're the same as they were before? Originally, when coming to Skagway, my sister-in-law, Denise, who I think is in the crowd, is responsible for our family coming up here. Everybody has a sponsor, by and large. You know somebody, and you come to visit Skagway, as we did. She came up here about 42 years ago, I think, Denise. And never left, and we came up 10 years later, which is now 32 years ago, and never left. So this has been our home. This is where we raised our two sons. We've had a couple of different businesses, currently the Skagway Fish Company. My wife and myself have served on, I imagine, every committee, board, commission in this community, so we're intimately involved, and I just came to the conclusion that maybe it's a good idea at this point in time to have somebody on the assembly who's got 22 years' experience in city government dealing with state and federal people as well.
Thank you, Mr. Henry. Would you hit your green button one more time to turn? There you go. Mr. Lockett.
My name's William Lockett II. I moved up here because my mom had been coming up here for summers, and then she convinced my sister to move up here with her kids. So by the time I was done down in Florida, they were like, dude, you got to come to Skagway. So here we came. Me, my fiance, and my chihuahua moved up here in 2011. I left just long enough to lose my hand down in Oregon, and came back, I don't know, more interested in seeing Skagway be all it can be. There's a lot of plans and developments coming along down the pipeline that a lot of work has gone into, and that with a little tweaking or a little more consideration or a few more questions, maybe they can be made to be better for everybody involved. And instead of trying to prefer one industry over another. But those are the kind of things I'm interested in and shooting for a seat on the assembly for.
Thank you, Mr. Luckett. Ms. Waddell.
Hi, I'm Alexandria Waddell, and I arrived in Skagway in May of 2016. I first found work hosting at the Red Onion, then bartending at the station and driving tours for Skagway Streetcar. I'm a past med and president at the Eagles Auxiliary and was a state-level trustee for 3 years. When my future husband Scott said to me, make a left at that big spruce tree, I was totally charmed. We married on this day in 2019, and our daughter Delilah arrived in July 2020. The pandemic offered the opportunity for me to return to my previous line of work in the legal profession. My current position as a client services director entails helping people organize their assets and estates legally and financially. We're helping people lay the foundation for a successful future, and this experience is what I will bring to the assembly table. There are many challenging issues that we need to address, and soon. I believe that together, through long-term planning and big-picture thinking, we can create a successful future. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Waddell, if you don't mind hitting that green button. We'll move on now to the moderator questions. Each candidate will have 90 seconds to respond, and Ms. Munson will ask the first question.
This is a two-part question, and it'll start with Mr. Hansen. How many visitors can Skagway handle on any given day? And is it imperative to the local economy that four ships per day visit in 2023?
Thank you. I think 2019, we were very, very busy. I think everybody can agree with that. I don't like to put a cap number on anything, but I think before we look into increasing any kind of capacity, we have to look at our infrastructure. We received quite a bit of money from Senator Murkowski's endowment from the federal government, but we have not gotten that yet to improve the wastewater plant. I do believe there's a saturation point, and to a point where the experience for the customers, the experience for the business owners, and this experience for the citizens is not a good one. So I don't think it's an infinite number of how many tourists we can take. Having four berths is obviously ideal for next year, but I don't think it's going to be in a normal capacity that we have from the railroad dock. It's most likely going to involve tendering. And what was the second part of the question?
I believe you answered both parts of the question, but I will repeat it. How many visitors can Skagway handle on any given day, and is it imperative to the local economy to have four ships per day in 2023?
So 2019, we had four berths running pretty much nonstop. I think we peaked out between 12 and 13,000 people plus crew in a single day.
Thank you, Mr. Hansen. Ms. Hager.
As far as the guest experience and four ships, if you're in a place as off-Broadway as our business is, and you have people coming to you saying, oh, thank God, we've gotten away from the crowds, and their experience was not pleasant because of the number of visitors in town on that particular day, worship day, I think we need to look at can we, and I guess I'd have to agree with Orion, limiting is difficult, but how do we make sure that the experience is best for the guests as possible, but also for the people that live here? I mean, we get taxed to the extreme in terms of our ability to show up every day and do our jobs, and it's really, really demanding. So I don't know what the answer is necessarily, but I do know that the guests who come on a worship day are not enjoying it.
Thank you, Ms. Hager. Mr. Henry. I would be happy to. How many visitors can Skagway handle on any given day, and is it imperative to the local economy that four ships per day visit in 2023?
Would you hit your microphone, please, Dan?
Getting stuck on numbers is always dangerous. So what the number in total obviously would depend upon how many days it's spread apart, where they came from, and so forth. The lion's share, obviously, of our visitors are tourists off cruise ships. All the cruise lines are building Panamax ships, so for Ovation of the Seas versus for Regent of the Sun back in 1990, decidedly different situation. So I know the design, at least initially, or the intent was to have two Panamax ships on the White Pass dock. Discussions that we had yesterday at the Tribal Council meeting, there was talk of that size vessel being over at the ore dock with the changes that are to be implemented. This is going to be a struggle in a lot of ways because I don't really think you're going to see a lot of traffic off the White Pass dock. I think it's going to be a tremendous challenge. So I wouldn't worry about whether we can deal with four ships or not right at the moment. I'd be concerned that we maintain at least two to three a day.
Thank you, Mr. Henry. Mr. Lockett.
I remember back before we had that many four-ship days in a week, and the workload was substantial. But then every day became a four-ship day, and it became even more substantial. So I'm extremely familiar with the burnout that a lot of town gets when we have that many ships in town all the time. But we can make it to winter. The sun keeps coming up the next day, and so long as we're incentivized to such a degree that we can pursue the liberties we want to pursue in this town, then we'll continue to do so. I don't know that we're going to have, like Dan said, four ships a day, because the condition of the dock now right now isn't really safe. That's not something that a lot of people want to try and risk overloading with all of a sudden a massive season full of huge ships coming in all the time. That being said, I definitely understand that we're a tourist town right now. It's how we're thriving. It's how we're making money. It's what businesses are based around and businesses that are supporting those activities. But I don't know. I think it's important, but it's not absolutely critical we get four ships a day. We should try and gear towards that and try and make that happen, but at the same time, not at the expense of other industries that we have. So, yeah.
Thank you, Mr. Lockett. Ms. Waddell.
Hi. So I personally would be thrilled to have the problem of having too many people in town after the last 2 years we've had. I think having four ships is the ideal, but I think it's very important that we remain kind of zen about it. The problems that we're facing are going to need a lot of adjustment. We don't really have the clearest route right now. We're still working out all those details. And I think it'd be important to be flexible. To the question of how many people per day, back when I was on the docks, 2019, which was the biggest summer I remember, I think we had like 13, 14,000 people days, and those days were packed. The streets were crowded. People were shopping. People were busy. The restaurants were overloaded. People were complaining that there were too many people. But, you know, at the end of the summer, all the business owners weren't complaining while they were taking their holidays and upgrading their restaurants or not working for the winter on the tips they made. And I would love to see that again. So I think that... I think that's it, actually.
Thank you, Ms. Waddell.
Proposition 1 asks residents to decide whether to pursue a $65 million revenue bond for port improvements following the expiration of the 55-year lease with White Pass. Do you support Proposition 1? Why or why not? Ms. Hager gets to answer first.
I've tried to do my due diligence on... looking at all sides of the concept. I've looked at the Save Skagway's port proposal and listened to their proposals and why they're advocating we vote no. But after looking at the city's proposal and how comprehensive it is, I'm afraid that a no vote gets us nowhere. If we vote no, we don't have an alternative to fall back on. We need that money. So after doing quite a bit of homework on the information, I'm going to vote yes for the bond.
Thank you, Ms. Hager. Mr. Henry.
Tough question to answer right at the moment. My first inclination is to vote for it. For similar reasons, as Janelin has mentioned, but more acutely, we need to be able to advertise as fast as we can that we are still a viable port and the most attractive port in the state of Alaska. And we can't do that without a facility that's viable. How that comes about is going to take a tremendous amount of funding. So for that reason, I would rather see the funding approved. I can see that there's going to be some flexibility. There's going to be a document breathing, if you will. At the meeting last night, I heard and saw some good points. Didn't agree with a lot of them. Some of them, I think, have merit. Certainly one of the biggest points that was made is the group that brought that forward didn't feel they were being heard by the assembly. And if, in fact, that is the case, I don't know if it is. But what I would hope is we would approve it, approve the bond, and then have that group, along with the then current assembly, work their tails off to make it happen. And it's going to take more money. So be ready for that.
Thank you, Mr. Henry. Mr. Lockett.
I think I don't think we should go with a loan for more money. I think that there's a lot of projects right now that could use the funding, but at the same time, we can't just magic up cash and then expect not to wind up paying back more than we're borrowing. I'd have to look over pretty much all of the fine work that has been done thus far on Proposition 1 as far as the numbers go. From what I've seen, it's not really that great of an investment when we're going to wind up paying back three times as much as we borrowed. If that is actually something that can happen, I definitely don't think we should be going forward with it. I understand that we do need money, but we should be trying to pull it from some other venue. There has to be another solution besides just burying ourselves in more debt, because that never really works out for anybody.
Thank you, Mr. Lockett. Ms. Waddell. Sorry.
My mic's been on the whole time. Unfortunately, we don't have the advantage of having seen the latest city presentation of what is coming prior to this forum. But I've been following the evolution of the city taking back the waterfront since I came to town, and I'm well aware of the issue. I believe that the planning has been done in a professional way so far, and that we are all about to learn a great deal more at that upcoming special meeting, but my feeling for now is to support the bond, because at the very least, modification needs to be made to the berth for as many ships as possible for 2023. I'm also interested to look into whether, you know, money could be replaced from infrastructure grants, and, you know, the Biden infrastructure bill was pretty much port development was the number one priority there. And I know that Emily Deitch has been working really hard on it. Lisa Murkowski and the members of our delegation have been standing to make it a priority. But a vote yes on the bond puts the money on the table, right into the middle of the table, where we all get to work with it. The plan's only at 30%. A lot can change in 30%. I've seen some good ideas passed around about positive changes, but without the money, we can't make the changes, we can't get going, and we won't be ready for next summer. So that's where I stand on it.
Thank you, Ms. Waddell. Mr. Hansen.
Thank you. Yes, I support Proposition 1. This is a bond from the port. It will not be coming out of sales tax or any other fund, so the revenues from the port will pay for it. It also doesn't mean we're immediately paying off $65 million. It's only as we use it. I think some of the points that were brought up by the opposition group are actually a lot more similar than dissimilar. Something that's changed significantly since the 30% design is the rock slide. Therefore, I think, you know, having the flexibility of potentially having two ships, cruise ships at the ore dock needs to be looked at very closely. But I think there's a lot of flexibility in that plan. It increases the capacity of a cruise ship from about a 900-foot ship to an 1,100-plus foot ship, which is the Norwegian Bliss, which is a very critical part of our economy, being able to accept those larger boats. That is the way the industry is changing. It also has, we've worked a great deal with the Yukon and their producers group and NYG to develop a ore plan that they're behind that also mitigates the future risk of contamination. And it also relocates the fuel header so that it can be in a place where you can have a fuel barge in at the same time as a cruise ship. So, yes, I very much so support it, and I think it's imperative that we put the money in place so that we're ready for not only the 23 season, but going forward for all of Southeast Alaska to know that we're here to stay.
Thank you, Mr. Hansen.
Okay, our next question will start with Mr. Henry. During the survey of Garden City RV Park, archaeologists found that the Pius X mission grounds extended throughout the entire area of the current RV park. Should the municipality return all or part of the land to the local tribal government?
Well, that's an interesting question. And the reason I say that mainly is I have heard at this table and I have heard throughout the community for the last, oh, I don't know, 5, 6, 7, 8 years, that Skagway needs to take back the port. We've never controlled the port, ever, in the history of Skagway. Mavis can probably attest to this better than anybody else. The U.S. Army commandeered the port. Then White Pass started a long-term lease in 68 and built what you see down there. So I don't know. The only one that can take back the port is the Tlingit Nation. We've never had the port. So do we give them Garden City?
Yeah, that's where I'm going.
I don't know. I think our relationship's already been defined, hasn't it?
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Henry. And our next would be for Mr. Laquette.
I'd be fine with it, except why? What purpose would they need an entire RV park for? Going forward, we're looking at where we can be putting people in RVs, where we can be putting campers, where we can be putting all kinds of summer workers. And that would be a shame to completely lose a prime piece of real estate like that if it's not going to be used for something that's actually going to be benefiting the community or the town. I think that they should have some kind of a interest in exactly how it's being developed, because if it is in fact descended into their hands, then why would they not want some kind of an input on what goes in there? But at the same time, those should be kept centered around the people of Skagway and the community of Skagway and what could possibly best benefit all of us, because that's the only way to do it fair.
Okay. Well, thank you, Mr. Laquette. Mr. Henry, your mic is still on. Thank you. Okay. And Ms. Waddell.
So when I learned that they were going to x-ray the ground to see if there were bodies of children beneath the ground, that was very disturbing, powerful image for me. I'm still kind of cringy, I guess is not even enough to say. Like, it was upsetting. And when they're finding graves all over the country and in Canada, I mean, it's just, it's terrible. The original land statute, according to the original law, which I looked up, says that they revert back to tribal lands. And if they believe they have a claim on it and want to pursue it, I'd be all for giving it to them. However, if we could come up to an agreement, maybe see what they actually want. Maybe they can give us half. There's been ideas about putting a statue. There's a lot of different ways to go. And until we actually hear from the STC what they actually want, it's hard to plan exactly, but I am supportive of giving them some or possibly all of that land if it came to it.
Okay. Well, thank you, Ms. Waddell. And Mr. Hansen.
Thank you. We've asked STC many times what their plan is, have not heard back from them. The taxpayers are paying the Catholic Church for that property. We pay that bond every year. I think it was $1.2 million purchase for two full city blocks. I personally do not harbor any guilt for the atrocities of the Catholic Church. I could see giving a portion of it, but I do not support giving the lion's share of it. I think that's wrong to all the other citizens of here who are not of Alaskan Native heritage. You know, I don't think it's any surprise that the mission sat on the entire location. You look at the pictures, that's pretty obvious. You know, I think we've debated many times about housing solutions. If SDC came up with a great housing solution and they were going to propose that to us and they did it through their connections with tribal government, I think that would be a very interesting opportunity. But in terms of just giving it over when you and I and everybody else are paying for that land, I don't support that at all.
Well, thank you, Mr. Hansen. Ms. Hager.
I guess I'd start by saying I agree with O'Brien to the extent that if you could come up with some sort of caveat with the SDC that that land were turned into some sort of housing, low-income or affordable housing, then I think either all or any part of or all of the land could go back to them. I do think they would do a good job of coming up with a plan that was reasonable for our community. I've seen them do a lot of good things for the community. As far as the infrastructure of that RV park, it's deplorable. It's in pretty darn bad shape, so it can't stay without a lot of repair, an RV park. And so much of it has already been dug up. I don't think we're going to find anything new. But I do think that if we could come up with a plan, a cohesive plan with the SDC, that it were a low-income housing property, that would be a good idea.
Thank you, Ms. Hager.
Moving on to the clinic, do you believe Skagway should follow its current path of negotiating a management and lease deal with Search? If not, what's your idea for an alternative? We will start with Mr. Lockhart.
I'm not sure I really stand behind letting Search come in and take over the direction of the clinic. I don't say that as someone who is a huge fan of the clinic nor the services provided, but I know that they do better than nothing. They do help a lot of people in this town when they do have emergencies, and sometimes it works out. I know that the administration level things going on over there are extremely complicated. Employees, I hear, are complaining about various issues they have with working there, with handling this document or this process. But I think we can do better without Search coming in and trying to take over, because, I don't know, I have a hard time trusting them entirely. Their upper management is making entirely too much money, and I'm not hearing a whole lot of praise come out of these services from the clinics that they offer, other than only the people who benefit from it. I mean, if you get exactly what you're asking for, then sure, you're going to give it 5 stars, but what happens when you don't? What happens when a doctor has a bad day and you wind up having a bad experience? Well, that should also weigh into the consideration of whether or not we're going to hand over the operation of our clinic to Search for 25 years for a dollar a year with the proposed, what is that? Yeah, anyway, the proposal for it.
Thank you, Mr. Lockhart. Ms. Waddell.
Would you repeat the question, please?
Absolutely. Regarding the clinic, do you believe Skagway should follow its current path of negotiating a management and lease deal with Search? If not, what's your idea for an alternative?
Okay, so I do believe that we should stay on the path that we're on, because until we know what Search is offering, it's very difficult to actually make a decision. I've heard tell that they've sent over a draft lease, a more recent one. I have not personally read it yet, so I don't know what it says, and I don't know what they're offering. When Search was proposing to buy the building, I was pretty against that. I have still have some mixed feelings about signing another long-term lease, considering the last long-term lease we signed didn't work out for us that beneficially in a fiscal regard. However, I've spoken to some of the board members at Search. They believe that we have a good asset here and that with proper management, it could be a successful clinic. But I don't know that it's ever been solvent and would never. It's tricky to say. I say yes, we're going on with current negotiations, because let's find out and then make a decision from then.
Thank you, Ms. Waddell. Mr. Hansen.
Thank you. I think philosophically, medicine has become very sophisticated. You need to be part of a larger network, and that's unfortunately the way it is. The vision of one doctor with a stethoscope is not the way medicine works anymore. There are many specialists, and I think you need to be part of a larger system. I also don't know that our town of 1,000 people really has 9 people who can keep up and run a clinic board and keep up with the requirements of the HRSA grant. And I think the tail often wags the dog in terms of the clinic having to follow the regulations of the HRSA grant. It costs the city over $1 million plus the HRSA grant. I do not support 25-year lease. I think that's way too long. But, you know, I think we'll see what they're going to come back with this proposal. If there were a dollar amount, then I thought that would bring stability to the Dahl Clinic. I would be all for it. I fully accept responsibility as a member of finance who every 2 weeks approves the checks, as all do six assembly people. But I don't think that the path we're on right now with Coors with $150,000 three-month term for an executive director is sustainable. It's very expensive.
Thank you, Mr. Hansen. Ms. Hager.
When you talk to healthcare providers who have experience with search, those that I've talked to are not for search. It's corporate. As Ryan says, that's what medical industry is these days. It's an industry. If we move forward with search, we will get a corporate attitude, and they will give us we will have services based on our population. So they'll determine we have 900 to 1,100 people here year-round, and that is our services will be in line with our population. So that aspect actually concerns me. It's a big expense, so it's a hard one to answer just straight out. But I'm wondering if we could cast our net a little wider and get some healthcare providers that would stay here and could live. We could offer a wage that was livable for their industry, but not to the extent that we're paying right now for people who come in and are here part-time. I do think we need to train our board. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Hager. Mr. Henry, do you need me to repeat the question? You got it.
This has been a headache for a long time, but first of all, it's not going to run at break even or a profit. It's a deficit situation. It's a service that has to be subsidized. I agree in large extent with what Orion has said. I know in his 6 years, he's looked at it as well. It's a tough situation. To inflate the subsidy through the city to the clinic for, you know, bringing up, I don't know how to describe them, better qualified people. They're all tested in their field, so either we can, get some of these folks up here or we can't. But paying them more is not going to make that happen. Either they want to be located in a lifestyle like we do here or they don't. But as far as search is concerned, I certainly I have not read their offer. I agree with Orion in that 25 years is far too long. If we do enter into an agreement with them, which we do have the advantage of their networking and their nonprofit, we can look at that, but it would certainly be with extremely shorter terms.
Thank you, Mr. Henry.
This next question will start with Ms. Waddell. Is Skagway properly served by the Alaska Marine Highway? What will you do as an assembly member to help ensure that Skagway isn't left without service during the winter months?
Well, I'm a big believer in ferries. The vessel, the water vessel kind. I'm a huge supporter of the Alaska Marine Highway. I think it's essential for our community and other communities to connect. When you see the packed ferries in the winter full of the basketball kids or the DDF kids going from community to community, it gives a very unique Alaskan Southeast experience. The infrastructure bill, again, port development, ferry expansion, there's talk of electric ferries. I believe they were trying to get an all-electric ferry at first that would just go to Haines, but now they're trying to get one that goes all the way to Juneau, and that would be a hybrid. There's a lot of great hard work that's been put into this so far, and I'm very supportive of the idea of electric or hybrid ferries because that is the way the future is moving in transportation, and to stay topical with it, that's what we should do as well. But just generally, big fan of ferries, all for supporting them and doing whatever I can as an assembly member to continue that.
Thank you, Ms. Waddell. Mr. Hansen.
We all depend on the ferry, especially if you live here in the winter. We're connected by water, really, not by road other than the White Horse. I think we need to advocate that we speak up for how the schedule is working, because when they put them back-to-back on the weekend in the wintertime, that's not very functional for our community, for Haines either. The state's in a better fiscal position than it has been in the past, so we're seeing some service come back. I'm very encouraged by the infrastructure bill and how that might come about. You know, I've heard different things about how Southeast Conference is trying to change where that's electric fairly goes to. I wrote a resolution saying it should be based in Skagway. We were at the forefront of that. Senator Murkowski pointed us out several times as being a leader. And I think a lot of that also involves hydroelectric and tying that together so that we can be a leader and being less pollutive going forward, which involves also the Yukon in the long term to get hydroelectric down here, if that's going to be a viability so that we can plug in a ferry. But that's not something I think you can do year round. The waters are too rough. So short, yes, I totally support the ferries. I think we need to work with our great ad hoc committee to try to get the schedule a little better in the winter. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Hansen. Ms. Hager.
Yes, I support the ferries. Do I think they're working for us the last few years? Not so much. And actually, my family and I have been pretty convinced over the last decade that there's somebody who just doesn't like ferries, that's scheduling ferries and wants us to all hate them in the end. But it is truly the most dependable in terms of the type of service that we have. So I'm supportive of the ferries continuing service in Southeast. Who do we reach out to? Not having really been part of the efforts to create a solution, I'm not sure just yet. I know somebody needs to help. But I can't really answer that question in the moment.
Thank you, Ms. Hager. Mr. Henry.
If you are seeking to be elected to public office in Skagway, and you come up here and say, no, I oppose the ferries, well, that'll pretty much end your chances. We all support the ferries. We all would like them to run as most efficiently as possible. The cost to go from gas to electric is going to be tremendous once it gets there. Of course, it runs more efficiently, it runs less expensively, but the transition is going to be tremendous. The reason that the ferry system does not fit well for us is budgetary. It's Juneau. There's cuts everywhere within the state. They just didn't decide that now we're going to stop doing that. I mean, we used to have them Monday, Wednesday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So I think if we could speak to Juneau, and for the love of God, if we could get that Sunday ferry to leave here at noon and get to Juneau at 6:30, you could catch that 8 o'clock flight. Instead of getting there at 8:30 or 8:15 and the plane's taken off. Because we all know, due to climate conditions, you're going to get on the ferry because that ensures you're getting out. Because if you're waiting on a plane, it might have a low ceiling, not going to be able to fly, too much this, too much wind, who knows. So, of course, I support the ferries. We've got to contact Juneau and get some help.
Thank you,
we've done it before. Sorry.
Thank you, Mr. Henry. Mr. Lockup.
I absolutely support our ferries. When I first got back up here, in 2019, we were having issues with ferries, and then the Matanuska went down, and then they had it repaired, and then it was out again because they didn't winterize it for some reason for Alaska in the winter. We've been through quite a few various issues with maintenance and this kind of thing with our ships, but we still have the option to have a ferry, which is great. Anything that I could do from any angle to increase the amount of boats we can get, or the efficiency in which they can run, or how we can prepare to possibly upgrade to a better ferry system, I would be all for.
Thank you, Mr. Lockett.
Moving on to the next question. Are you in favor of the borough negotiating a deal with White Pass to leave its infrastructure on the Ore and Broadway docks? How should remediation of the Ore Basin contamination be handled? Mr. Hansen is up first.
Can you repeat that question?
Are you in favor of the borough negotiating a deal with White Pass to leave its infrastructure on the Ore and Broadway docks? And how should remediation of the Ore Basin contamination be handled?
It's imperative that White Pass does not remove their dolphins, piers, catwalks, whatever they proposed of taking out before the end of this lease. That is basically all the infrastructure you need to dock a ship. And I think it's a complete bluff. I've said it several times at the table. I do not believe any intelligent business would shoot themselves in the foot to pick up a coin. In terms of the remediation, I would say a peaceful transition with White Pass is very important going forward. And I'm all for whatever solutions we can come up with that do not disrupt business coming forward for Skagway, for all our community. And I would entertain any option that does not disturb a successful tourist season next year and all the years following.
Thank you, Mr. Hansen. Ms. Hager.
I feel like they need us and we need them. It's the number one tour attraction to the city of Skagway. So getting along, hopefully, in this transition makes sense. However, as I understand it, for years, the White Pass Railway has been in default of their lease, and that lease states if they're in default, they don't get to keep anything. If that, in fact, is the, and that's not legalese, but that's the nuts and bolts of it, as I understand it. So if they're in default, I think we just call them out on, and it has been done publicly in this venue, that they're in default, and you can't take those things, and let's just move on from there and get along. We could either take you to court and say you're in default and you can't take those things, or we just agree they leave those things and we figure out how the rest of the plan goes forward. And I'll restate that. They need us, and we need them.
Thank you, Ms. Hager. One moment. Mr. Henry, this candidate forum is being broadcast on KHNS-FM, Haynes, Skagway, and Clockwan. Mr. Henry, do you need me to repeat the question? You're good.
About 17 years now. I think that is the case. White Pass is not going to remove the assets. It certainly was a tone, an atmosphere that they wanted to create several years back. The reality of it, I don't believe, is there. Again, the White Pass dock is almost rendered impotent at this point. Certainly, it's not going to be the value that it was in 2019, unless we start scratching on it right away, which I don't know that there's any plans for that. But more than likely, as far as negotiating, sure, let's go to them, talk to them about it one more time. More than likely, be prepared. We're going to be in court, and a judge is going to go, after listening to both sides, we'll send the decision maker for the city and the decision maker for White Pass into a separate anteroom and tell them to come up with the best solution, or he or she, whoever the judge is, will come up with the solution and the verdict. But that's more than likely where it's headed.
Thank you, Mr. Henry. I'm going to repeat the question. Are you in favor of the borough negotiating a deal with White Pass to leave its infrastructure on the Ore Broadway docks? And how should remediation of the Ore Basin contamination be handled, Mr. Lockhart?
I haven't seen a plan for the rest of the Ore remediation for the basin. I don't know if that's because I missed something somewhere or I possibly haven't talked to the right person, but from last I checked, they had done a massive pullout of there, and there was a plan to complete the rest of it, but it was going through some organization for the state to get approval. That came before the council. They felt that they didn't have enough details, or they didn't feel comfortable going ahead with that plan, and then it's somewhere in the ether. I'm not sure. It seemed like a solid plan, and if that's what they used to get rid of what they've already gotten rid of, why not keep rolling with that? I definitely support the city going into some kind of a mediation with White Pass, because lawsuits suck, and it's not really where we want to be as a city, is going to war with people in our city that are running businesses that we need to run. I see White Pass as an essential part of the town, as I see AML and Petro, everything else. We need these places to be able to run properly, and it would be great if they could take the same kind of consideration with what we're trying to do for the 2030 consensus plan and everything else we have planned. So, yeah, I'm definitely in favor of the city negotiating with White Pass.
Thank you, Mr. Larquette. Ms. Weddle.
I have read the 1968 lease and governing ordinances or controlling ordinances. And there was a line that really struck me, and it was that at the end of the lease, White Pass would leave peaceably and quietly. Peaceably and quietly is typically not disabling the docks and crippling the town. And I don't think White Pass probably will end up doing that. However, if they do want to take their improvements back, that was also in the lease, and it was their right to do so. And I believe that we should negotiate in a public fashion. I'd like to see them come to the assembly and put everything on the table, not behind closed doors, but so that the whole town can see what they're asking. And it's all very straightforward. As far as the ore remediation goes, if it was my land and I had a tenant that polluted my land with heavy metals that were causing cancer to my neighbors, and they promised for 30 years and that, you know, they admitted that it was their fault and they said they were going to clean up and they didn't, and 30 years went by, I would probably just clean it up myself and send them the bill, and I would let lawyers figure it out. At this point, it just needs to get done. People are dying. People are getting sick from the contamination. It's our water now. We're getting it back. Let's just clean it. I mean, if we have to eat the bill at the end of the day, the reward is we get a clean water. So that's where I stand.
Thank you, Ms. Weddell.
Okay, our next question will start with Ms. Hager. Okay, Skagway depends primarily on cruise ship tourism. We know that. So what ideas do you have to make Skagway more attractive to independent travelers?
I love that question. I would like to twist it just a tiny bit. I would like to make Skagway attractive to residents. There are towns that advertise their towns. They don't want to die. They've got cool towns. They've got reasons to live there. And yet their population is declining, just like ours. So I don't think we need to advertise to more visitors. They have got that down pat. This town does a great job of that. I would like to see us twist and say, come and live here. We've got clean air, clean water, great schools. It's safe. There's about 10 things that people are looking for in the communities they want to live in. And there is, in that great resignation, there are millions of people looking for a great town. And we can be that. And we know how to advertise Skagway. So I'm not looking for advertising to more visitors. I mean, yes, we should and can. But I want to advertise to potential residents. Let's all be ambassadors and tell every guest that comes here what a great town it is to live in.
Thank you very much, Ms. Hager. Yeah, certainly. So Skagway depends primarily on cruise ship tourism. So what ideas do you have to make Skagway more attractive to independent travelers and visitors?
Okay. Well, over the years, we've done a little bit of that. While I was on assembly, of course, we negotiated with White Pass to take control of the lot down on Spring Street so that there's at least somewhere to park, rather than on the side streets that all residents were complaining about. Then as the police station moved north, we annexed that as well for parking. So you can only do so much with the community due to its size. We're 4 by 23. It never ceases to amaze me what a terrific job we do with the cruise ship passengers and those visitors. So the independent ones, I think, primarily are brought at this point by possibly the few hotels and B&Bs and so forth that are here, because we have shrunk the RV business dramatically. And here we are, we're talking about what the future of Garden City is, as if it is going to be an entity that is not going to be an RV park. So there's a challenge yet again. So I think we, you know, just in all senses of the word, have to polish the apple, but I think we're doing a pretty darn good job.
Okay. Well, thank you, Mr. Henry. Mr. Laquette?
I'm sorry, could you repeat the question?
Certainly.
I'm sorry.
Don't be. Skagway depends primarily on cruise ship tourism. What ideas do you have to make Skagway more attractive to the independent travelers?
Well, we can't get much bigger of an advertising campaign than having cruise ships coming in and be like, here, take a few thousand people. I know, at least by word of mouth, that a lot of people have heard of Skagway. They want to come to Skagway. Most of my friends and family down south want to come to Skagway because they've been watching my videos that I've been uploading on Rumble every other week. There's a lot of need in the lower 48 for what Skagway can provide as far as housing and an area to live and come and visit. You know, you can come up here and recharge your soul. It's wonderful. And I think, much like Jalen was saying, that we should try and be ambassadors for Skagway, because no matter what we're doing up here, we're all here for the same reason, and that's because we can do whatever it is we're doing. There are times that gets really hard to maintain and really hard to make work, and, you know, harder to staff and various issues that face reality. But, you know, we're making it, and this is the place that people want to come. So all we have to do is allow the city to be able to welcome them. We need to expand housing somehow. We need to get our utilities out across the bridge finally. Helping to support and build the infrastructure that's necessary to have more year-round residents would be awesome.
Okay. Well, thank you, Mr. Laquette. Ms. Waddell?
Well, I'm so glad you asked. I would like to bring back the Golden Circle. We used to have 30 or 40 RVs coming in like once a week. They go to the Days of 98 show. They get streetcar tours. They eat at all the restaurants. Yes, they stayed at Garden City. And yes, the infrastructure there is no good. And maybe it needs to be given back or whatever. That's not the place. But we could, like Mr. Laquette said, put utilities on the other side of the bridge, expand an RV park out there, bring those people back. Maybe the electric ferry could be updated to get cars to take people across, just, you know, Skagway to Haines, complete the circle, get those RV traffic back. They were great for the town. They came in, they stayed days, they spent money, they frequented our local theaters. They were wonderful. Aside from that, I've been to Juneau where they rent out cabins in the winter, and you can go in and stay at them, and there's like this whole destination. I would love to see more heliskiing and winter incentives to have people come out and cross-country ski to our cabins in the winter, or hike up to Lower Lake, or climb a frozen waterfall or something, you know, get some of that adventure tourism, because that's where the future is going. Adventure tourism of the independent traveler is huge, and we should be capitalizing on that.
You're listening to live coverage of the Skagway Candidate Forum on KHNS, Haines, Skagway, and Clukwan.
I think the most important factor is not a decision that comes out of this room, but it's Ottawa. And I've heard good news that Canada is fairly soon going to lift the vaccination restriction and going into Canada, because we are the gateway to the Klondike. It's a great, great asset. And through this pandemic, that has been very hampered.
What can we do locally? Much like Alex was just saying, I think our trail system is a great draw. Having some more huts, some more cabins would be an attraction. Development of the West Creek Lost Lake Trail, something that we've had the survey done for. Go ahead and finish that and continue to develop our trail system. I think we could have another campground, whether we leave Garden City and improve it or put a campground somewhere else within municipal property. I think one of the challenges is the cost of getting in and out of Skagway. Obviously, if you drive here, you've driven a long ways and you've paid for the gas. But getting to and from Juneau by plane is pretty expensive these days. So we really need the ferry to keep that for independent travelers, particularly if they're looking to move a vehicle. But I think we actually do a very good job with all our restaurants and all our businesses and all the recreation we have right at our doorstep. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Hansen.
This candidate forum, again, is being broadcast on KHNS-FM, Haines, Skagway, and Klokwan. With Little Dippers looking to expand to year-round operations, what else can be done to address Skagway's limited child care options, and what should happen with the senior program? Mr. Henry, you get to answer that first. Would you engage your microphone? Thank you.
In 92, after I'd been here just a couple of years, I started volunteering for committees, and one of them that I was put on was the Senior Citizen Committee, which was to, do something activity-wise, building-wise, what have you. And I can tell you two residents that I spoke to directly, Bob Rapuzzi and Edie Lee, and both of them in the conversation, as soon as I got done explaining what we were trying to do, told me, yeah, we really need to do something for those old people. They were both about 85 at the time. So the senior aspect of this, we have to keep on trying to push forward for a little bit more active sort of thing. Did we cover also the Dippers daycare?
Yep, I'll go ahead and answer that. It's about Little Dippers and about the senior program.
That's really a tough one as well. Obviously, we have to look at subsidies from the state and Fed on those kind of things. The city has been doing its part. It certainly will try. I've always been a supporter of Little Dippers. Of course, my sister-in-law started it, but it was still a great idea, and it's a great entity. So, I'll always support it because its function is so necessary. But like everything, you have to have limits, but we'll press those limits and try and offer as much as we can. But those are things that are going to have to be subsidized, and you're going to have people that are qualified.
Thank
and
you,
ready
Mr. Henry. Your time is up. I'm going to repeat that question one more time. With Little Dippers looking to expand to year-round operations, what else can be done to address Skagway's limited child care options, and what should happen with the senior program? Mr. Lockhart.
I'm kind of aligned with Mr. Henry here about that. The city, as far as the city basis has gone or goes, we've done a lot. We've tried to incentivize, hey, we'll hook you up with some money if you're trying to get this set up for yourself so you can watch kids around town. I'm not quite sure what else we could do shy of just handing out an individual paycheck for anybody willing to try it, but the costs of doing such a thing need to be looked at and see if we can possibly try and find some easy path through these restrictions that they place on opening up a daycare place. Not just anybody can be like, oh, I want to babysit kids today and open their door. You know, there's things to be taken into consideration that all likely need to be taken into consideration. But at the same time, all of those considerations cost money. They cost money, time, energy, filling out paperwork. It's not like a walk in the park, but at the same time, we should try and promote people going through this process so we can get more child care. I know that's one of the biggest things facing families in Skagway is, okay, well, does one of us work and the other one stay home? Or, you know, do we pay $900+ a month to have our kid taken care of? One of my friends is almost paying more money in rent or more money in child care than he is in rent. And anything that we can do to try and alleviate that burden would be wonderful.
Thank you, Mr. Lockhead. Ms. Whittle.
Well, I think the easiest solution is to have the seniors watch the kids. But since that might not work, I would like to say that Assemblywoman Hiltner, Assemblywoman Potter have put a lot of work into this and have come up with some solutions that I'm very supportive of, which is financial incentives to getting daycare providers to start up in our town. It's something that we absolutely need, and they've put a lot of work into it. I also like that they did it so that the receiver of that grant has to actually have 10 kids, which means they'll need two people on staff, which also helps with reliability because, as I know from last winter, if you only have one person watching your child and they get sick, you have no person. So it is a good solution that they've put forward. With the seniors, we have empty buildings. Let's give them a senior center. Maybe we could move the kids into the old fire hall, set that up as a daycare center. You know, they'd be central to downtown, give the seniors the Big Dippers building. How you take care of your children and your seniors is an indicator of how well you're doing in your community. And we're trying with the children, and we need to try with the seniors, and I think we can do it, and I think we've been putting a lot of hard work into it. I've seen how hard everyone's working, and I'm all for it, for helping it and tackling this problem. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Waddell. Mr. Hansen.
Thank you. I guess as an assembly member, the first thing you can do is vote for those subsidies, which I always have. And I see Assembly Member Hilton and Potter in this room, and they put a tremendous amount of work in for the initiatives for new startups, and then to balance that existing private child care. And I'm hoping somebody else steps up now that that McKinsey's closed down. You know, we definitely have a lack of enough spaces within Skagway for child care. I think we certainly are trying, but short of building extension on the school and hiring staff, I don't really know, you know, how many more incentives we can throw out there. In terms of the seniors, you know, I think when I first got elected, there was a ballot question for a senior center with seven units for $7 million, and that didn't seem like a good expense. I would hope we come back with a different plan that maybe doesn't include housing and just a very nice facility. I see Betsy in the room, and I remember those meetings were pretty difficult. It's been a while, and we need to revisit that. And I think the Presbyterian Church picks up a lot, and as well as the Catholic senior lunches. So, you know, we'll keep trying and keep supporting it. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Hansen. Ms. Hager.
Well, a lot of us know there's been a baby boom in Skagway, so this problem isn't going to get any easier. I do think that the existing building that the Little Dippers is in should stay the daycare center because it does have a playground in it. Can't really see the senior citizens needing a playground. Well, maybe. But as I understand it, there's conversation going on right now where that building is going to be made available or very likely could be made available to the Little Dippers year-round. Staffing is going to be one of their bigger issues. Back to my big idea of advertising Skagway as a place to live in. Daycares are a lucrative business, and if we could just find the right staffing, I think that's going to become their bigger problem than a location or being able to be open year-round. The demand is there. And for senior citizens, and there are other buildings in town that could be used and places to gather and you know, enjoy each other's company. They're doing senior citizen lunches right now, most 4 days a week in the Presbyterian Church, and that's a enjoyable gathering. So we probably could do more for our senior citizens. I'm sort of like Edie Lee. I'm not one yet, and don't see myself that way. But I do think we have opportunity to solve the problems for the daycare close at hand.
Thank you, Ms. Hager.
You okay? Okay. Okay. Things get exciting at Assembly Chambers. We're going to now move on to questions from the community. Melinda and Gretchen will pull questions at random. Each candidate will answer one. So there will be one question per candidate. You won't be answering the same one as the person in front of you. The time limit for each answer is 90 seconds.
Gretchen will start by pulling the first question out of our newsy hat. I have to warn you, this hat's been in the newsroom for maybe 30 years. Jeff wore it. We have confirmation that Jeff Brady did, in fact, wear this hat. And I'd like to thank the community members who submitted questions. They were incredibly thoughtful. And so thank you so much for your participation with that aspect of tonight's event.
Definitely good questions. It made us look bad. We're looking at your questions. Okay, this question is for you, Mr. Henry. And here you go. I did. I have a cheat sheet here. Okay, Gretchen picks on Dan first. Okay, what is your moral compass in making decisions? Or what processes do you use to make significant decisions?
Dan, your microphone is not on.
You know? Thanks for your help. I gave this advice to several assembly members in that sometimes you talk to somebody who's running for assembly and you talk to somebody who's a little bit different after they get elected. And what I would say to that, and the reason I bring it up, is the advice that I gave them is this. People in this community do not elect you because they think you're one of the smartest people in the town. The reason they elect you is because they feel strongly that you will be fair and you will weigh things and be persuaded when your decision process maybe is flawed. That's the only reason they elect you. Now, granted, a lot of people make the case that, oh, it's a popularity contest, and that may be so to some degree. But I would hope that the former is a little bit more often the case than the latter. People just want you to be fair. And they also want you to be accountable for the votes that you make at this table. So when you're 1-5, you're going to hear about it.
Well,
5-1, depending on how you're looking at it.
Thank you, Mr. Henry. And now, Melinda, Dina, are you good with this?
I understand the process.
Okay.
Our next question is going to go to Mr. Lockett. I'm going to close my eyes and look the other way because I want to be fair. All right, Mr. Lockett, what is your position on raising the sales tax seasonally to pay upgrades to our infrastructure and quality of life improvements for locals?
I think it's something that should be looked at because if it winds up benefiting us to such an extent that it's worth the increased sales tax, I don't see why the community would have a problem shouldering that. If it's actually providing the improvements and maintenance of things that we care about, absolutely.
Thank you.
This question is for you, Ms. Waddell. Okay. If Skagway wants to continue attracting RVers and other independent travelers, we will need to upgrade our campgrounds. How do you propose we do that?
Well, I'm so glad you asked. I am a big fan, again, of Golden Circle traffic. Get those RVers back here. Let's find them a place to set up a new RV. Let's get utilities across and maybe just some dump sites and electricity. Whatever, like, the simplest version is to get it going sooner. You know, we can always upgrade later, but if we just get the place slotted out, we can start booking those tours again, getting them to come back to our town and use our facilities and spend money. So thank you for asking.
Thank you, Ms. Waddell.
Next up is Mr. Hansen. How would you propose to reduce the negative impacts of tourism on the community and improve quality of life for those of us who call Skagway home? So basically, how are you going to make the streets less crowded when I need to park in 20-minute parking? Just kidding. Interpret the question how you'd like.
Dan will love this answer for your twist on the question, enforcement. I think we suffered through parking discussions for 2 years, maybe. I think one of my bigger concerns is about pollution. I think the amount of smog you see on a busy cruise ship day is of great concern to me. I come from Atlanta, Georgia, where it has some of the worst air quality in the United States. And, I think there are days where our air quality with ships, trains, buses is not good if the wind isn't blowing and we have an inversion. We've had a lot of discussions with Yukon Energy, and it's a viable option to get for the Yukon to bring electricity to the border. You know, this is a huge discussion. It's going to involve, you know, two governments, two nations, but tying to the grid, I think is something that in our long-term planning will definitely reduce the amount of pollution we see. And I also, you know, definitely concerned with our own sewer plant and the outfall from there. As tourism happens, you know, that outfall is going into the ocean, and it's a primary system. It's not overly treated, and as we grow, it needs to be better. So that's definitely something I'm concerned about, you know, as tourism grows and the quality of life and cleanliness of our town. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Hansen.
Now, Gretchen, your microphone's not on. That's okay.
That's okay. Okay. Did you hear me say that? Okay, good. Will you commit to voting yes on a pool?
I can attest that question did not come from Jay Burnham.
That's hilarious, actually. In the newspaper questions, why did you run? One of them was, for 30 years, I have wanted a pool in Skagway, Alaska, and I have been on pool committees, and I have, at any rate, the answer is yes, for sure. I will do everything in my power over the next 3 years to find a way that we can finally have a pool. I've got a drawing. My husband's a contractor. I mean, we've figured it all out. All we have to do is give it to somebody and hook it on to the rec center. It can be done. The money's out there somewhere. I've been told to find it. I'm resourceful. I can do that. Give me a couple years.
Thank you, Ms. Hager, and you're welcome. Okay.
We have four more community questions and five candidates and some extra time. What do you recommend we do, Mike Swayze?
Well, that's a great question. I think you draw a name out of the hat and a question out of the hat.
How about we draw two questions and have everyone answer that, those two questions?
Okay, that sounds great. I like that plan.
That work?
I just got very confused. What's the plan, Gretchen?
You're going to go to the bathroom.
We will let Gretchen now take charge.
Actually, I think what we might do is go to a 60-second answer and just pick two questions and have all of you answer that question. Does that sound fair?
Sure.
1 minute?
I think we'll have time for one question everyone gets a minute to
okay,
answer.
Okay, that sounds good. I'll let you pick
okay.
that.
Oh, what is your opinion about the municipal contribution to the school's funding? Let's go. We left off with Ms. Hager. Yes, so actually it is Mr. Henry's turn to go first.
As anyone in this community will tell you, I've always been a big proponent of the school. Tourism, obviously, is the engine that drives the town's economy. But as in any community, your education system for your youth is, at least in my eyes, should be your number one priority. The only time in the 22 years that I had a struggle forcing through the subsidy to be to the limit that it needed to be for the school, I was met by opposition, and I just turned to those at the table and just said, I don't have the courage to walk into the Fairway Market and tell a mother that we didn't fund to the cap, so the mathematics or the science that should be available is not, your child is not going to participate. I don't possess that courage. So I'm always for funding for the cap, obviously dictated by what the city can afford. But wherever there are extra dollars, they're going to the school. Certainly with the extra population coming up.
Thank you, Mr. Henry. Mr. Lockett.
I think making sure that Skagway School has as much funding as we can possibly provide is important for maintaining the amount of education these kids are getting. When my school first set up for a computer lab, we had nothing compared to what these kids have in there today. And the way computers and technology are going, they're going to need every single one of those skills as they get out into the world. So, yeah, we should definitely be pouring support behind that effort.
Thank you, Mr. Lockett. Ms. Waddell.
I wholeheartedly support funding the school to the cap. We have one of the best, if not the best, school in the state, and I would love to keep it that way. I have a daughter who will be school age soon. I would like to see her have those benefits, but generally, I think students need to be supported. They are our future. They are their education is important, and I just think I couldn't be more supportive of the school in general. I think we do a great job, and we need to keep it that way.
Thank you, Ms. Waddell. Mr. Hansen.
Fully support funding the school to the cap. I think we've done that repeatedly. And the best peak scores in the state show that. We have a wonderful school, wonderful superintendent, great staff. And also, the community really supports the extracurriculars, the burger feeds at the Elks, and just people, you know, cheering and supporting for our students to seek things outside of just the classroom as well. It's a focal point of pride for our whole town. And I'm proud of Skagway School.
Thank you, Mr. Hansen. Ms. Hager.
I also am supportive of funding the school to the cap. I was in the room all those years ago when Dan was the only one who said it wasn't financial. It was for a lot of other reasons that they did not, and our community suffered. The school suffered, and it took us a decade to climb back and get the school back to where it was prior to that disastrous decision. I would never want to see us go through that again. It's a great school. The kids are well-educated. They get to travel. They have great experiences. And it's another reason somebody should want to live in Skagway, Alaska.
Thank you, Ms. Hager.
One more? Let's do one more.
Oh,
we can do it.
Fine.
We can sneak it in.
I will hand the hat to Gretchen.
Your microphone, please. Yeah, thank you.
Okay. People are usually telling me to be quiet. Are you a year-round resident? And how much will you be absent this winter? And we'll start with Mr. Lockett.
I am a Skagway year-round resident. I came up in 2011 and I only missed 8 months so far. And I have no intention of going anywhere else at any time, let alone this winter. Skagway's where my home is. I just built a tiny house on 10th and State. It's amazing. Being a homeowner in Skagway is a whole other experience, and it takes your responsibility up a notch, but that's something I'm willing to willing to bear. It's, yeah, I will die here. This is my hometown. This is all that I've foresee myself doing in the future, so I'll be here one way or another.
Thank you, Mr. Laquette. Ms. Waddell?
I am a year-round resident. I've been here every winter since I moved here, since my first one. And I would anticipate a perfect attendance record for myself, as I don't travel as much as I would like to.
Thank you, Ms. Waddell. Mr. Hansen?
I'm absolutely a year-round resident. I work straight through the winter. I go to see my mom for about 2 weeks. I think I probably missed one assembly meeting where I wasn't able to call in 6 years. And I very rarely ever am not here when we have an assembly meeting. I'm all in.
Thank you, Mr. Hansen. Ms. Hager.
I'm a year-round resident. We own two businesses here that are busy most of the year. I have had my period of time where I was trying to leave, and you can see how successful I was at that. There's a shift when I have a plaque in the house that says, sometimes you have to leave home to figure out where home really is. So I've done that, and there's no better place to be. And that's what I say to people when I travel, that you should come and live in Skagway, Alaska.
Thank you, Ms. Hager. Mr. Henry.
I believe I have the longest term here at the table, both living in Skagway and serving on the assembly. I've been here 32 years. I served on the assembly 22 years. I think Jennifer back there sitting next to Ms. Potter will attest to the amount of hours that are sacrificed by an assembly member, not only at the assembly table, but many committees as well. And so I'm willing to sacrifice yet again to do that for this community, as I've done in the past. And this is year 33 coming up.
Okay, well, thank you, Mr. Henry.
Thank you, candidates, for sharing your time and thoughts with us tonight. You now have 60 seconds for closing remarks. We will use reverse alphabetical order this time, starting with Ms. Waddell.
Thank you. In conclusion, allow me to say that I'm proud to be a part of the historic process that brought us here tonight, as it demonstrates the benefits of the democratic system. I'm encouraged by the number and diversity of the candidates here tonight. The pressing issues at hand and upcoming MOS agenda unify us, no matter what the differences between us may be. Let's prove ourselves capable of embracing the opportunities at hand sensibly and responsibly. I am dedicated to this community, and when on the assembly bench, we'll continue with the same spirit and enthusiasm and engagement that you have witnessed here tonight. I will prove myself a competent, capable, and worthy champion for this town. I plan to set office hours in addition to being available by phone and email for all constituents. Thank you for everyone coming here tonight and listening in. Please vote for me on the 4th so that I can get to work for you. In regards to my other candidates here, I'll just say that I don't want to let your age or experience be held against you for political gain. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Waddell. Mr. Laquette.
Fair enough. I don't know. Much like I said last year, I'd really like to see a lot more Skagway get out and vote. Because no matter if you're voting for me, if you're voting for Mr. Henry, if you're voting for Mrs. DeHager, Hansen, Ryan Hansen, Alexandria, just vote. Let your voice be heard. This is what the system's all about. Being able to peaceably get up here and voice our concerns and see what we can come up with for some kind of a solution for Skagway. Nothing that is done at this table is going to be an immediate fix for anything. However, I believe that all the options should be considered and all the voices should be heard and taken seriously. Consider voting for me.
Thank you, Mr. Luckett. Mr. Henry.
Make no mistake about it. This is the most important time in the history of this community. Make no mistake about it. what we do here in the next 6 months will impact us tremendously. Thereby, peripherally, it's going to impact families around the community, not just those directly involved with tourism, although that's where the impact will start. But make no mistake about it, this is the most important time shaping this community's future, which is the only reason that I decided to rerun for office, is I think institutional knowledge at all levels is a very important asset in making the good choices, the correct choices, the progressive, the best choices for growth for this town, period.
Thank you, Mr. Henry. Ms. Hager.
Well, I'd have to agree with Dan that it is an incredibly important time. And it's huge decisions, but it's also an important time to remember that we need to listen to each other. And I hope to be a bridge when I can between people who might not be willing to do that. Sometimes that's one of my greater skills. I don't want to rule out anyone's voices when you're working through a problem-solving process. I see myself as better at being proactive than reactive. And I do have to say, I think it's a bit of a scary time, but it's also an exciting time. So, at any rate, hope it all works out.
Thank you, Ms. Hager. Mr. Hansen.
Thank you, and thank you for everyone coming. I am deeply committed to the public process. I believe in our democracy, especially here in Skagway and our local community. I try to be very objective, prepared, and present at all meetings. I try to listen to both sides, but I do have a backbone. And I can bend a lot, but I don't bend indefinitely. I truly believe that our government is the most representative form of democracy you have. And if reelected, I will work very hard, as I do every day, to continue to represent Skagway and our future prosperity. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Hansen. That's all the time we have. Thank you to all the candidates for participating in the public process, and thank you to everyone who submitted questions as well. The audio from this candidate forum will be available at khns.org, and a video will be posted on the Skagway News Facebook page. The newly elected candidates will take office on October 10th. A reminder, the election is Tuesday, October 4th. Polls will be open at City Hall that day from 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Early voting is available at City Hall weekdays from 8 a.m. till 5 p.m. through October 3rd. For all of us at KHNS and the Skagway News, good night and good voting.